I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. And we really, really like self-care for yourself. So our self-care is together this week.
Yeah, we did a joint one.
We did one because we went to Katie and Eric's wedding. See, K, it stands for killing it.
It stands for dancing Danae.
Football Danae, baseball Danae, dancing Danae. That's my favorite
adjectives to describe me.
The wedding was fun.
It was amazing. So my middle brother Eric got married, who is
my brother-in-law.
Yeah,
and he's also my younger brother-in-law. So
bully him.
He's our little, if you will.
So he got married to Katie, who is now our new
sister-in-law.
In Chicago, and it was amazing.
It was fun.
Beautiful wedding.
And the venue was attached to the hotel. Like, we should do that every time. We should do that every time.
So these are the jammies that we got as bridesmaids. Yeah. So
we were in the wedding.
I've actually been wearing them like every night.
They're really comfortable.
They're so soft.
I love them.
And then I do love that there is a D right here. So I'm like,
I like that there's a K.
Don't forget it. It's me, Danae.
I'm the problem. It's me. All I can think of, it's me. Hi.
I'm the problem. It's me. Also, can we just have a moment?
Okay, we got to tell you guys something crazy.
Kim showed up in these earrings.
Oh my God. Mine are not. Okay, but just know they're the same ones.
Here, we're putting them together.
We didn't buy these together. We didn't buy them for each other. We just happened to have them.
We're just sisters, so.
Yeah, sisters.
Sisters. The same taste.
Yeah. Well, they're really fun to wear. They're like really them. Cute. Yeah, that so was really weird was when you were like, wait, I
have those exact same earrings. Because we plan on wearing the pajamas. And I was like, should I put the earrings on
too? And I said, why wouldn't you?
Should we be twins to the max?
Twinsies.
Anyways, so that's our self-care. Yeah, we so supported fun. A beautiful love story.
It was great.
It was great.
I got to walk with Keith. You got to walk with Steven, which was kind of nice.
And Ronan, which was a last minute
adjustment. I forgot that was... Hey guys, you know how like kids,
you know how toddlers are, toddler.
Well, he wasn't crying the whole trip, and then right before going down the aisle,
he lost his.
That's when he was like, mind. Actually,
you know what I hate?
Weddings.
And he let loose.
I kept looking at you like, it's okay. This is fine. This is fine.
It worked out because I did tell him before we like started the walk. I was like, because Aunt Jennifer gave him the ambulance, Chicago ambulance that he was carrying around the entire weekend.
And he kept showing it.
So I was like, Ronan, I need you to show everyone your ambulance. And he was like, fuck.
Say less.
And he was like, like as we're walking.
I didn't get to see
that. Well, because you went That's before amazing. Us. So I was like. Well,
I went after you guys.
No, I thought you were before.
No, we were the last ones to walk right before Katie because Keith was the best man. Oh, because
Keith's the best man, so he needed to be closest. Okay.
Yeah.
I was freaking out.
Well.
I blacked out.
No, I love that he was like, here's my...
He was like, hey, you guys, ambulance, have you seen this?
And everyone was like, wow.
Cool. They were like.
It was his face.
It worked out. It's fine.
It was fun. It was a lot of.
He did not ruin the wedding. Thank God. I was so scared.
You can't say, like, oh, he's ruining the wedding. He's an infant baby.
Can you? He's not an infant baby.
Yes, he is.
He's a toddler.
He's just a little guy. He's a very tall toddler.
He's the tallest of toddlers.
Yeah,
People he towers. He's not. Yeah,
he's two. Could have fooled me. I was there, though, so yeah. I know.
So anyways, he didn't ruin it. It was a beautiful wedding. The food was amazing.
Oh, my God, the food was so good.
The DJ was fun.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, DJ.
And also, I just want to say that Eric pissed me off at our wedding because he kept trying to change to his music.
Oh.
I was still mad about it. So Eric had to add Mr. Brightside for me. That was my compromise.
Oh, okay.
And the best part was I was in the middle of telling people how they can get a house in this economy. And Mr.
You were like, hi, welcome to my TED Talk. Here's how you can get a house. Mr. Brightside, my song.
Okay. Well, we explained to them what worked for us, that we like had a friend. So we were like telling them to like keep an eye out with like friends and family members and stuff. And then like Mr. Brightside came on. I'm like, I have to go.
Anyways, goodbye.
Well, we talked to them later and they said it was like their favorite part of the night was when somebody's like, I'm sorry, I have to leave. And then I run over to Katie and Katie's like, Kim, and everyone's like, Kim's over here, and I'm like doing this, and then Katie and I were dancing to it.
Good time.
So it was a really funny memory, but I told them later how to get a house and they were like,
you were like, hold that thought.
I sound like I'm doing a TED Talk, but it was just like, you have to like talk to friends, let friends know.
Okay, put your feelers out.
What worked for us,
it was a connection. It was a mutual connection. Okay, anyways, so, beautiful wedding. It was amazing. What are you telling me about?
Okay. Have you seen Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No.
Okay. So basically, it's Larry David. He was also the creator of Seinfeld, which I know you've seen before.
Of course. Duh.
Your dad's favorite show.
Yes.
And he also played Bernie Sanders on SNL, which was fantastic. He did such a good job.
He does look kind of similar.
I mean, yeah, the hairline and everything. All right. So basically, this story has something to do with Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
It was basically an exoneration of an innocent man.
Oh.
All right. Oh, I know. God,
are we on like the same wavelength?
I claim stake on this. Do you remember? I was like, I want to tell that one. You're like, okay.
Yeah. I just have like another, I have a story that's also like, he's innocent, but like everyone's like, no, he's not.
So. Well, he sucks.
Okay.
But also, like, guys, we were trying to record an episode to like post video on our YouTube, and my laptop was like, no thanks. And I was like, fine. Please.
You know, you
and
gotta roll like, with the punches. Yeah. And so, we'll just take like a video, or we'll take a little like Instagram short or something and like show our earrings and our jammies.
Well, we'll like put a short of the beginning of it on our Instagram so you can see that.
At least the intro.
Talking. Yeah, it's absolutely. Anyways, so on May 12th, 2003, 16-year-old Martha Puebla was laying in bed and heard someone trying to get her attention on her window, just tapping at the window.
Ew, what?
And she opened it and saw her friends. Oh. So she went outside with them. I know.
Okay. I was like, gross. Was it a creep-ass man?
Well,
okay, it was her friend.
Yeah. I guess maybe if your friends do that all the time, it wouldn't creep you out. That would creep me out immediately.
Yeah, no, that's
I'd,
weird.
Like, fall to the ground and, like, call 911. But that's just me. So they were standing around and talking and noticed a car kept driving past them, like,
what?
Six or seven, like, loops around. And they were like, that's sketch. Fucking weird. Yeah. And the car stopped a little bit down the street and somebody got out. So all of Martha's friends started scattering.
Scatter! Scatter! They all just like scattered in different directions.
And except for her.
Except
and her
for Martha.
Yeah, except for
Martha.
Well, where's she going to go? She's at home.
I don't know. Lock your door? Okay, it's fine.
So anyways, so she didn't run and her friend Juan Ibanez.
What?
He didn't run either. It was like her and him. And
just stood there?
I hope I pronounced it right. I tried to do like phonetically. Like I wrote stuff down phonetically, but sure. I don't know how good I did. So the guy got out and asked her who she was. And she told him. She's like, everyone knows who I am. Girl. I'm Martha. Listen, she's 16.
I feel like she's doing a lot of things wrong, but I will not victim blame.
Don't victim blame.
She's a child.
But I mean,
how she
why are your friends running too? Like there's a lot going on. I'm sure she's like, what's
happening?
There's
a lot happening.
Yeah. So she also told him and he said that he knew her and
what?
Well, she said
she said you knew me
or something. I don't know if he's like, I do know you or I don't know you.
Okay.
But he replied he he just replied to something, and then he pulled out a gun and shot her.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Okay. He either said, I do know who you are, I don't, and then pulled out a gun and then shot her.
Shot her. I'm sorry,
what? Martha's dad heard gunshots and came to help her and call 911. Not long after they arrived, she was shot in the head twice. People had a description of the guy as like a 5'8 Hispanic man who was mid-20s, late teens, mid-20s.
You're like shooting people in the head for no fucking reason?
Yeah, and he had a shaved head.
Okay,
that's but this not is really so. But the 5'8 thing is pretty important.
He's a short king.
Well, he's not a king.
He's a short,
short man.
He's a short plebe.
So, but they assume just from the way he was like dressed and carried himself, he was a gang member.
Okay,
but that area,
it's like an initiation, yeah, sort of situation.
So essentially, this is like the valley outside of LA, which. Oh.
Okay.
At that time, there was, like, a lot of, like, gang activity. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
So, neighbors saw the girl and friends and didn't have a good description, but they found a phone near her and it ended up being her friend Juan's phone.
Okay. Juan's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Juan's okay.
He just witnessed his friend getting
murdered? Well, and he ran, too, when that guy started walking over.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know, like, what was said, done, and I'm sure he also, like, and he's the one that, like, told them what happened.
Oh, my God.
And he told police that the friends had fled when the man got out of the car, and he ran as soon as the guy started firing, and he luckily wasn't hit, but he said the man did try to fire at him, and he was able to get away. Mm-hmm. And they had him look at pictures of, like, gang members, crime that had happened, and they had him look at like pictures of people, and he found two pictures that he were like, that might be him, and his description was the same as neighbors, so that did help too, that there wasn't like all these different
discrepancies.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they put a sketch together as well. So why Martha?
And yeah, I mean, when there are gangs, sometimes there are, like, random acts of violence, and you have to, like, kind of be initiated. It's like,
no, it's not random.
You know, the first person that flashes their lights at you, and you shoot them or whatever. But, like, this seems so, like, out of nowhere.
It does.
Until.
Until.
Okay.
Well, less than 2 weeks earlier, Martha testified against her boyfriend, Jose Ledesma, and his friend, Mario Catalan. For a murder trial. They were part of a gang.
Uh-oh.
Let me tell you a little bit about, like, what had happened.
Uh-oh.
So, in 2002, she was hanging out in a car in front of her house with her friend, and her friend had brought a guy around named Christian, and he was sitting in the driver's seat, and they were all hanging out. And earlier that evening, Martha had invited Jose to come over and hang out with him, and he was, like, taking a while to get there, so they were, like, hanging out in the car. So she sees Jose, like, park his car, and he came over, and he went up to the car that they were sitting in after he had parked his car and shot Christian and killed him in the head 5 times.
Oh, my God. This is how many? This is, like, 2 weeks ago?
This was a murder that happened in 2002. Her testifying.
So like, a year ago.
Yeah, so her testifying was two weeks earlier.
She just saw someone get fucking murdered.
Yeah. Earlier that year, and now,
her like friend is also seen her get murdered. Okay.
Okay, it's fucked up. Yeah, so
but she testified against
her boyfriend shooting the guy in the head happened in 2002. The trial, however, was two weeks earlier than May 12th. Mm-hmm. So, the two men that were on trial, also Mario and Jose. A little bit after they had shot Christian in the head and he like left, they had been in a gang shooting. Like they were on the highway. They shot another guy and killed him.
Some shit's not good.
Yeah. So when they were being searched for, they fled to Mexico and they were able to find the men, in Mexico. They were like in Tijuana. And one of the girlfriend of, I think, Mario, mm-hmm, had gone with them, and they were called to a domestic dispute in Mexico. So that's crazy. And the girlfriend who was being assaulted when the police showed up. Mm-hmm. And when the police like separated them, she's like, they're wanted for murder in the U.S. in California.
Honestly, good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
She's like, fuck these guys.
Yeah, she's like, by the way,
wanted for murder. You tried to hit me, bitch. Like, yeah. Let me tell you about your fucking warrant for arrest.
Yeah, so they got sent back to the U.S. They questioned the men and showed them that they had a connection to the gun found in the car. They were like, well, the gun we found in your car was
used. They were like, who, me?
What? I'm just a boy.
I'm just a baby.
Yeah, so they were like, well, this gun was, like, used, the gunpowder, all that stuff. Know. Yeah.
You're connected.
And they put them in a holding cell together, and they secretly recorded them, hoping that they would say something, and they didn't.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, don't be a dumbass. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
They were hoping they would implicate themselves, like, and they didn't.
Let's put them in a cell together and hope that they, like, tell all their secrets.
They're like, here's our plan we're going to put together. Like,
okay, guys, you know what we're going to do? Tell all our secrets in this fucking cell. Like, no.
Like, I don't know.
They're not dumb.
But let's talk about some criminals are dumb.
Where they're like, some, yes.
Yeah. Agree. So they were hoping.
But they weren't that dumb.
Yeah. So they were charged for the gang killing that happened, like, on the highway. And Mario was the accomplice for being the getaway driver in that. So they went to his house and found drugs.
Yeah. Did a search. Not the drugs. Wait, like, was it weed or was it, like, real drugs?
I don't know. It was just drugs. Okay. So I'm not exactly sure.
It's probably just weed.
So they were like, where's these drugs? Like, who owns the drugs?
Tell us about the drugs.
And Mario's younger brother, Juan, and his dad were at home. And they were like, well, we're going to take your dad in. So Juan was like, they're mine.
Okay.
They're my drugs. Yeah, they're my drugs.
Leverage some.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that would suck. You're already. So.
Well, and also, like, it's you.
Yeah.
Like, you did some things. So, like, don't make your dad and your brother, like, suffer the consequences of, like.
But he did. But Juan had to, like, was like, yeah, they're mine, but they weren't his.
Yeah.
There's two men named Juan in this story. Wait, so it gets a little confusing. So, Jose.
Which Juan?
Sorry, that's stupid. It worked out perfectly. So, Juan was her friend that was standing with her.
Okay, and should we give him, like, a code name? Juan, we'll just call him, like, the friend.
He doesn't come into the story again.
Oh,
so, okay. Just know. And then
Juan gang member.
And Jose and Mario are the two that go to jail for murder.
But Juan is Jose's brother?
Yes, Juan. Mario's younger brother.
Okay.
So Mario was the accomplice.
Okay. He was the driver.
Jose was like the one who did it. Yeah.
He shot the gun.
Murders. But Mario
was driving the car to get away.
Yes. And Mario was like the older brother to Juan, who we're going to be referring to a lot in this story. So they went to Mario's house to search. I'm sure they were trying to find more evidence that he was a little bit more involved. Then he said, you know.
And they were like, you know what I found? A little bit of drugs.
You're going down, man.
You're going down.
And it was in 2003. So, yeah, like, weed would totally be something that they're like, we don't want that. Anyways.
I'm just
being. So Juan's like, don't take my dad to jail. They're mine. And so he got a drug charge. So, basically, Mario and Jose were, like, in jail. I don't really know the exact circumstances, but they were, like, they were put away.
Okay, jail.
Yes. So, anyways.
So they're in jail.
So Jose and Mario are put away. Juan and his dad are not. But Juan was like, well, I don't want them to take my dad. They're my drugs.
Uh-oh.
Even though they were his brothers.
Oh, no.
So hopefully that's not confusing. Because shit gets weird.
Okay.
So, one day in August 2003, police showed up at Juan's job and arrested him.
Why?
And
for what?
They were asking him where he was on May 12th.
I don't recall.
Was
that the murder day?
Yep.
Okay.
They decided to book him, and after a little bit of time,
they decided.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you're taken in. And he said, like, it happened in front of his daughter, which is super fucked up. And they put him in a Sally's like, what the fuck? Like, who remembers what you were doing May 12th? But he had time to think, and he remembered that he was at a Dodgers game that day.
He loves a Dodgers game.
Yeah, he's a big Dodgers fan.
He's a big sports guy.
And there's a reason why he loves the Dodgers.
Because of Dodger things.
Because LA Dodgers. Yeah. Sometimes you're into Dodger things.
Sometimes you love hot dogs, and that's fine.
So, yeah, he was like, I was at the Dodgers game, like, with my daughter and my cousins.
I feel like I know this story.
You will know this story. Anyways.
Okay, I'm not going to. I'm thinking it.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
I'm not going to say it, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, because he had time, and he's like, oh, my God, I was with my cousins and daughter.
Yeah.
So, he was given tickets to the game, like, not long before the game. Like, one of the customers at his job was like, I have four tickets to the Dodgers. He was a huge Dodgers fan. He's like, yeah, I'll go. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm sure people have done that. So he brought his daughter and he had his cousins go. So
But he also went.
Yeah, it was him. It was him, his daughter, and his cousins. Okay. Yeah. But he also had tickets to go to the Dodgers game later that week, too. Like, he was a big Dodgers fan.
He loves the Dodgers.
And that's all he could afford, too. So he was like, I was stoked to be able to go to them. Hell yeah. Like, a few times. So, anyways, so he tells his lawyer this. And his lawyer was like, okay. And asked him kind of what section he was sitting in. And he was behind the pitcher's mound. So the lawyer was like, dope. I'm just going to watch videos. And make sure,
perhaps, like, I can see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he watches them, and the camera pans over, but it doesn't quite go
as far as him.
Yeah. And the lawyer's like, fuck. So he keeps, and he watches 24 hours of footage.
Wow.
In slow-mo. And he's
this
like,
this is a good lawyer.
Yeah.
Sir, you're doing your job.
If I ever have to have a lawyer, I'm calling this man.
Yeah.
His name's Todd.
Todd?
Todd is
You're fucking doing it.
Doing the fucking thing.
Like, as you should.
Yeah.
For a lawyer.
So anyway, so he, and at one point it does go far enough, but it's grainy and you can't really tell. Ugh. And he's like, this fucking sucks.
Okay.
So, you know, Juan starts thinking more about it. And he's like, you know, there was a camera crew there that was filming something. And so the lawyer calls, like, the Dodgers stadium and said, hey.
Who was there?
Just wondering, like, and filming in his section.
Yeah.
Which is so lucky, if you ask me.
And so precise.
Yes.
And specific.
And they were like, and, you know, and it was just, like, Juan, it was so, like, out of his brain that, like, when he really thought about it, he's like, oh, my God, they were, like, something was being filmed.
People are filming things. And yeah, this is people, like, I'm sorry, 2003. Mm-hmm. So this isn't even the time where people have camera phones that are just filming every fucking thing.
Yeah.
This is like,
like, people take selfies.
You got to be on TV.
Yeah.
Kind of to be filmed in any sort of capacity.
100%. So they go, he goes to, like, Dodgers and just, like, asks them, like, do you guys have film? Like, is there anything being filmed? And the person's like, well, we typically don't allow filming at Dodgers games.
Wasn't their whole fucking camera crew?
Well, he watched the videos of them playing baseball. Like, that was, like, on TV.
Yeah.
But they were like, well, so they went through the book and it was, like, empty, empty, empty. May 12th, there was a production company.
Okay.
So the lawyer's like, and it was a production company with HBO. You know, Danae, sometimes you talk to people that are affiliated with HBO. So he calls them and he talks to one of the producers of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
David Larry.
Larry David. David.
Sorry, it's two fucking first names.
I love Larry David. I would
be Ryan Brian. Like, I don't know. It's the same. It's. He's if got two last, first names.
If your last name is Brian or Ryan and you name your son the opposite one,
how,
like,
dare you?
May God have mercy on your soul.
And also, you're kind of funny.
But, like, your son's going to hate
kind
you.
Of a dick.
Yeah, Brian Ryan. Could you fucking imagine?
Rude.
You're a dick.
But anyways, he does have two first names.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
David Larry.
David Larry.
A.K.A. Larry David. Anyways, so they are like, yeah, we were filming in that section, but we're actually not going to release the video.
Well, how about fuck you?
But he was like, well, okay, there's a man that might get, like, the death penalty. And Larry David was like, oh, okay, well, you certainly can't have that. So they were like, yeah, we'll actually, like, totally help you out.
Okay.
And there's a documentary, and it's so cool because Larry David's so stoked. I've never seen that.
I mean, he's not a stokeable person.
He's not a stokeable person.
But, like, also, if you had the chance to be like, yeah, this guy's about to get, like, convicted for something that he, like, didn't do, like, film crew was there, you'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna help
you. Can we also appreciate that his lawyer believed him too? His lawyer wasn't like, this guy.
He wasn't like, he's a lying liar. He was like, he, like, went the distance and, like, fully looked, like, 24 hours of footage.
Due diligence. Yeah.
And then on top of that was like, wait, you remember that there was a production crew there? Let me find out about that. Like,
imagine reaching out to HBO. Like, this
is the kind of, like, people that should be lawyers.
I agree. He went the distance. And they were like, well, we actually don't release for any reason. And then when he said that, they were like, oh. Okay.
And on this note, we will make an exception.
Yeah. So, anyways. So, they were looking through videos and they just didn't find anything. And there's a scene where Larry David gets up and he's leaving. And all of a sudden, you see Juan and his daughter
right
go to their
him?
Seat oh. with a timestamp of 9 o'clock.
You know what I love? Crime solving.
Yeah.
Let's put the pieces together.
But they see him, and it's clearly him, and, like, Larry David walks up, like, a second later, but they had him on camera.
I love
They went through many hours, many weeks, watching everything.
So good.
And, you know, and even, like, the team's like, there was 40,000 people at this game. Like,
top notch.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
That's like a karma thing.
But were they willing to look and help? Yeah, they were. So that's
because they're good people.
And, yeah, he was clearly there. There's a timestamp at the bottom of the screen that read what time he was there.
I love that.
You would think that would be it, right? Okay.
The justice system.
So
a totally unflawed system.
He's there, right?
Uh-huh.
He's there, right? Well, since he picked up one of his cousins and had to drop the cousin off, that the cousin lived pretty close to them, they're like, well, even though it was 9:15, there was still time.
To commit the murder?
Where he could have committed the murder. And he's like, well, I didn't leave the game until after 10. And they're like, well, what were you doing?
You don't have evidence of that.
Yeah. And I'm just going to tell you so much evidence. Oh my God. Just, yeah, it's going to get frustrating.
Okay.
So one of his cousins did end up living close to Martha, and he was dropping his cousin off. So they're like, well, yeah, you could be at the game at 9:15, and you could have rushed over at 10.
Wait, Juan was, like, leaving the game to drop his cousin off somewhere?
Well, he was dropping his cousin off at his house after the game had ended.
Oh, because they had gone together.
Yeah, so this timestamp was 9:15. So it showed 9:15. Like, well, you could have left immediately after and gone there.
And, like, murdered people?
Well, and he's like, well, we didn't leave right away.
Because, like, you got to, like, let the crowd sort of dissipate, you know?
So they did tell him that he could have made it back to 10, but also with L.A. traffic, that was immediately what I thought, too.
Like, he could have made it back by 10?
He could have made it back by 10 and, like, been there to commit the murder, even though they had a timestamp of 9:15.
Okay.
But, like, immediately I thought, like, every time I've left a Broncos game.
Well, in L.A. traffic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just Denver traffic in general.
Yeah. No, there's no way.
Yeah. But
there's no way.
Exactly. So also, too, they're like, well, what happened after the game is like, well, my daughter wanted ice cream. So we
he's just like being a fucking good dad.
Yeah. So they like got her ice cream and then baseball cards. So what was confusing is they're like, well, I got up and got her candy. I don't really know like what the time frame of that was, but I know they were coming back to their seats. And then at the end of the game, they were like, yeah, we went and bought her ice cream. And then he got her baseball cards. And they were like, well, do you have a receipt for that? And he was like,
who has receipts?
Or a transaction.
Oh, my God.
So they could see when the card pinged. And he's like, well, I paid in cash. And they're like, well, okay.
Yeah. And it's also 2003. So it's not like you have like a digital timeline of like,
yeah.
Yeah. Let me look at my like bank account and show you.
So he's like, I paid in cash. And they're like, shit. However, the mom called them at the game and it pinged off the tower closest to where it would show that they were at the game, not at that area. That wasn't good enough.
Oh my God. Sorry. Just wait. White people.
Yeah, fucking right.
Going so hard.
So another thing, if you remember, I told you the person was 5'8", right?
A short king, a short plebe.
Yeah. So this goes to trial. Juan walks in with his face covered.
Okay.
He is 6'1".
There's no confusing that. I'm sorry.
And they were covering his face and they were like asking the guy and the lawyer's like, well, I'm 6 foot.
And he was like standing. There's no fucking way.
So they were also showing that like, it's just, there were so many discrepancies. The
body structure even. Like, yeah. Of a 5'8 person versus a 6'1 person. Like,
yeah,
you're different.
They were just basically like asking them the description before. And they're like, well, here's it. And the person was like, well, the description's a little bit different.
A little?
Yeah, no fucking shit. It's a little bit different.
It's like way different.
Exactly. And to me, there's already enough evidence that homeboy wasn't there.
Like, we've seen it.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah. Because even the tower.
Pin it on this person.
Yeah.
You're just trying to like close a case and pin it on like the most like, he's associated with a gang. Like,
the prosecutor was pissed off that she was wrong. And it was a dick measuring contest, if you ask me, at this point.
Mm.
So they pulled off the thing and they're like, this is the guy that you guys think did it. And she's like, yeah, it's totally him. And he's like, it's not. The description's different. It's
literally not. Look at the sketch.
All this evidence. And it's just like,
you guys.
What the fuck? And like, they were seeking the death penalty.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
It was.
The death penalty? Like, can we.
I think the prosecutor's like, well, we found someone, so let's just, like, go like, with that theory.
We need to, like, really pin it on this person, like, case closed, win
no,
for us.
No, that's literally not how it works, but anyways. So, he had been in jail awaiting this trial for 6 months.
Oh, shit.
Keep in mind, too, he had a drug charge because of his brother.
One time. And it was probably weed.
Probably.
I'm making assumptions, but... Probably.
They were able to clear him. But they're like, but they're
of the
still
drug charge?
Of everything. Not the drug charge. He still had to go to jail for the drug charge or whatever. However, he had been in jail for 6 months. And they're like, is that good enough? And they're like, no. So they made him stay another 2 weeks. And at this point, Juan was like, okay.
Okay.
I'll fucking just do it.
Can we?
Like.
Do what?
I'll just stay in jail for the next 2 weeks. Because he had already been in jail for 6 months for a crime he didn't commit. But he was like, so the prosecutor, just to be a dick, was like, yeah, you have to spend another 2 weeks in jail. And he at that point was like, okay, fine. Like, I'll fucking do it. And then this shit can go be done. Anyways. But that means there's still a killer out there. And so also, like, thank you, Curb Your Enthusiasm, for, like, I know you guys want to, like, wait until the episode comes out, but I'm really glad that they were like, yeah, let's help this guy. And they were excited to help him too. And it was like hundreds of hours of footage to go through like make sure. Yeah. And they all did it because they wanted this man. So it's just, it's fucked up that there was so much evidence. They still tried to push the case through. So, but somebody did commit this murder, right?
Like, and who is it? At this point, you know, it's like, it's not this guy, clearly.
So 2008.
2008?
Like, they were listening to a recording of Jose. And they found him talking to a friend about killing Martha.
Uh-oh.
Because the bitch had seen something. Why?
What did she see?
Did they not listen to this phone call years before?
Why is this 2008 that they're listening to this?
That's what is so infuriating. There is so much evidence that Juan didn't do it.
And yet.
Jose asked another person to fucking do it. Yet he still went through this. Oh, and you're listening to this in 2008? So a man had to, like, be in prison?
Like,
maybe he would have for the drug charge. But still, like, imagine being
also,
like.
Also, I'm sorry. Like, for me, I'm a little bit like, drug charge. The priority is low. You know what I mean? Like,
It's not violent. You're not really hurting anyone. Like, unless you're trying to, like, really do, like, some sort of cartel.
Yeah.
Situation. Like, sometimes people do drugs.
But also, like, what's upsetting is with this case, they just wanted it to pin on somebody.
Yeah, and they needed it to, like, close suspect. It. Yeah. They were like, you're the perfect person. We pick you. We're going to make the evidence fit, even though it fucking doesn't.
Yeah. But also, thank God he had a good lawyer that was, like, believed him. Number
one, believed
him.
It just sucks that, like, you have to, like, pay for lawyers. You know? I mean, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Money runs everything. So but it just sucks.
Yeah. He wrote a book about this experience. And he's like, it's just crazy to think I'm a writer. And it's like, what a cool experience. Like, not a cool experience, but like, what a crazy experience he had to like endure for
him. Well, to be from point A of where you're like, I'm getting arrested for something that wasn't me.
Yeah.
To now writing a book like in sort of like a memoir fashion of like, here's what happened and how like,
also he crazy took the fall was. For his brother almost twice.
Yeah.
Like if Mark brothers Kristen if you did that brothers. I'm not gonna take a drug charge for you, so don't get drug charges.
So don't do that
on two people that definitely don't do drugs or even have the desire to. But yeah, so that's the story of how Curb Your Enthusiasm helped exonerate a man.
So he was fully just like off the hook.
Mm-hmm. He still had to serve for the drug charge.
Well, whatever.
But he
didn't.
He wasn't like.
But he wasn't charged for like the thing that they were trying to.
And they 100% like the evidence of the cell tower and Curb Your Enthusiasm was enough of a reasonable doubt. And if they didn't have that video footage. Guarantee
he would be in jail.
He would be in jail. So, and I think it's amazing that like Larry David was so like, yeah, let's fucking help him. Like, but, screw
well,
it.
You know, Larry David's like a cool guy. But okay, so do we know what Martha saw?
Because she was dead. I mean, she okay, passed
but
away.
They like said that she saw something, and that's why they murdered her. I'm just wondering, like, we never found out, like. Potentially what crime she may have witnessed or like
she saw that guy get shot in the head.
Well,
her friend Christian.
But we already knew that. Like,
yeah, so they just didn't want her to have more evidence against them.
Because potentially maybe she saw their faces. Like,
well, she knew it was him. So it was just like retaliation.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Dude, that's fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had already testified against him at that point. Like,
yeah, like. I don't know.
But it's retaliation for talking. It's snitches get stitches mentality. Yeah. So it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Rest in peace, Martha. I'm glad they were able to find the killer.
I mean, she was like very much in like an innocent person that was sort of like in the crosshairs of something that really had nothing to do with her.
And I'm glad they were able to actually find the guy who did do it, yeah. You know, but it's really upsetting. I'm sure her family was frustrated too, and I'm sure they like felt really bad that like he almost went to like he almost got the death penalty from this. So I'm glad he was cleared, and it was like a few things, but it's just crazy, like even with that evidence, prosecutor's like, no, come on. And then but yeah, it's crazy. Wow. But we'll put pictures up of like the scene that you can see him. And if you guys want to watch the episode, it's called In the Carpool Lane is the episode title, where they are at the Dodgers game.
Is the the Curb You Curb Your Enthusiasm
and he's wearing a Seinfeld jacket in it, which makes me laugh.
Amazing.
Yeah. But
because isn't like wasn't Larry David like he was essentially like his like he wrote Seinfeld, but he was kind of like if he was going to be a character on Seinfeld, like, he's kind of the George of the whole cast, right?
Yeah,
like, that's kind of, like, his personality of
so, Curb Your Enthusiasm, I've watched it a few times. It's basically, like, an exaggerated form of himself in really awkward situations.
Sure.
It is actually so funny.
Hilarious.
Like, it's, but it's one of those shows that, like, you've heard of it.
Yeah.
You've
well, people sing praises.
Yeah,
but
it's really funny.
He's like a very good like comedic writer.
Yeah,
from what I know, and yeah, I always like kind of linked him with, like, the George character.
Yeah.
From what I, like, understand, but...
Yeah, he's just, like, he plays a kind of crotchety form of himself, basically, and it's great. He's like a
curmudgeon, kind of.
Yeah, and he's, like, he owns it. He's, like,
this is, yeah, I am. I'm just a curmudgeon-y man.
This is real, this is me.
Hi, I'm Ebenezer Scrooge.
And I'm happy about it.
But
not Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll post pictures on our Instagram, and that's just going to be Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch that episode.
Yeah.
Also, if you have any, like, stories that you would like to suggest to us, or you have any comments, feedback, literally, if you just want to maybe say hi, just a little pop-in email, let us know. It's mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Also, we're trying to be on YouTube, but Kim's laptop didn't want that.
You know what? We're not going to take it personal. Sometimes
I'm taking it personal.
Technical difficulties, and also, like, we're doing
it. It wouldn't even explain. It's like, I don't know why.
We're doing our best.
Yes.
So shut up.
We're done. But we also,
but, like, please tell us things.
But also, like, rate us 5 stars.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Until next time.
All right. Bye.